Our God is with you.
And also with you.
This is a story taken from the Gospel of Matthew. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had ordered them, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, but they doubted. And then Jesus approached them and said, "All power in heaven and earth has been given to me. So go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of our Creator, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you till the end of the ages." People of God, hear what the Spirit is saying.
Praise you, Lord Jesus Christ.
And they doubted him. "People of Galilee, why are you standing there looking at the sky? LBC community, why are you standing there looking at the sky?" You know, the Acts of the Apostles reports that it was 40 days from the time of the resurrection until when Jesus was lifted up. That feast would have been Thursday. How many celebrated? Don't raise your hand. How many people celebrated the ascension on Thursday? Yeah, I didn't either. And it's moved most times like to Sunday because churches don't always get together during that time. And this is the day that we celebrate it. But it's not always something you get excited about. What the heck does it mean? And we sit there and it doesn't have much meaning for oftentimes with many of us. I was listening to NPR this week, and there was a guy talking about how disillusioned he was by so many of the Bible stories. He reads the Bible stories and he goes, "That couldn't have happened. What are you talking about?" So much so that he said he quit believing. Now, the opposite of that is that we believe every word exactly it says. And then we go down to Kentucky and we visit the Creation Museum. Is there something in the middle that we can get? Do we blindly take a look at the ascension and what that's about and just ignore our 20th century worldview? Or do we take that traditional thing that asks us not to see what we see today and causes us disbelief? So, did the ascension actually happen 40 days as the Acts of the Apostles is saying? Are they lying to us? You know, what's interesting is that the ascension is only mentioned by Luke. In the ascension, in the Acts of the Apostles, it was 40 days after the resurrection. In Luke, he puts it together with the resurrection. Matthew, Mark, and John only talk about the resurrection. So what's going on with that? It adds to some of my disillusionment, my skepticism. It adds to my wondering the direction what it should be. But what I think is important is we look back to see the way they looked at it. They had a three-tiered world they saw. I mean, it was all the way up to Columbus before we began to figure out that the world wasn't just flat. In the biblical world, and you can see pictures of it in the Bible, it shows this flat piece like an island, and that's one level, and then Sheol was below, and then the heavens were up there, and they saw that things would open in the sky to allow it to bring water to the earth. Now, I don't put that down because that's as best that they could see at that time. That's what they understood. And doesn't it make sense if they say that God, that's where God was, that Jesus is going to raise up just the same way. In the 14th century, you can look it up. Evan was laughing about it before church. The artists, what they drew was they had the disciples looking up like this, and there were two bare feet hanging out of the cloud. Because that's what they could understand. And we can't put them down for that, but we need to understand it. And then when we come into this world that we have today, I mean, this world where Copernicus really is the one that turned it all around. He began to say, no. The earth, the sun doesn't go around the earth. It's the funny, we still use the thing, the earth rises. No. We're going around the sun. And then we go, there's all these other things that are out there, how the moon goes around. And then we get to today where we see the Webb telescope. It takes us way beyond that. How do we take a look at that? Well, part of it is what we see with what the 40 days was. The Bible talks in terms, and numbers mean a lot. Let me just read a few things here. The number 40 occurs frequently, regularly in the Bible. The number 40 appears in shorthand. What's it saying? Noah's Ark was 40 days and 40 nights. That rain, that's a lot of rain. What did it mean by that? Isaac and Esau were 40 years old when they got married. What are they saying there? The Israelites ate manna for 40 years in the desert. Are they saying something that we're not understanding with our very particular mind that we have? Moses was on the mountaintop for 40 days and 40 nights. Eli was judging Israel for 40 years. Goliath confronted Israel for 40 days. Saul's son, at being 40 years old, became the king of Israel. King David reigned for 40 years. What are they saying there? Do they really mean 40 days, 40 years, 40 times? Or are they saying maybe this was a long time? It was something for us to take a look at and to see. And maybe that's part of what their story is. And unfortunately, sometimes we get caught up in just having one story. And there's a real danger to having one story. So many understand that's just one story that came from the Acts of the Apostles. And he said there were many different apparitions that happened over a long period of time. Maybe we need to take a different look at that instead of being so peculiar. Is it understanding the ascension? Or is it experiencing it? After the resurrection, there were two people heading down to the road to Emmaus. And they were talking about all the stuff that had gone on in between. And then the stranger came up and then said, "What are you discussing? What are you talking about?" And they said, "Haven't you heard?" And then he explained all the scriptures. And then they sat down to eat. And when they sat down to eat, he disappeared. Didn't our hearts burn? Who was that? What was that about? I was at a play down in Cincinnati, and there was some grandparents there who I hadn't seen in a while, and they had triplets, grandchildren, who were all in the play. And I got to talk to them. I said, "You remember when the triplets were born and how they were in ICU and they were struggling just to be alive? And it was just such a hard time. Now to see them acting in Mary Poppins, it was just a wonderful thing to see that." And the grandmother said, "You know, I'll never forget that. I was on the ICU unit waiting in there, and so was my husband, and it was like 2:30 in the morning. And this doctor from a totally different part of the hospital comes walking through and starts asking how the kids are. How's the baby?" And then says, "Don't worry, the baby's going to be okay." And they turned around to talk to each other, and they looked back, and the person was gone. Who was that? Is that experience that we can all have an understanding? I believe what the ascension was trying to say is that there aren't three tiers. The spiritual and the earthly were all one. It's what the cosmic Christ is about. You know, Jesus' last name is not Christ. His name was Jesus. They called him the Anointed. But that's a misnomer to claim him as Jesus. That's why they say Jesus the Christ. The Christ was spoken about way back in Genesis. When God created on the first day light out of all the chaos. Well, was that the sun and the moon? No, that wasn't created until the fourth day. So the Christ has been there the whole time. Jesus is another manifestation of that Christ. And what he was telling to us and speaking to us is that we experience it all here. That it's here. What do you look up in the sky for? It's here. It's in the faces across from you. The Christ is in the stuff that we do, in the way we help each other, in the way we love each other. We are that. Isn't that a funny place for God to hide it? Inside of each one of us? That divinity that's there? I mean, the Irish, they call it thin places. Any Irish people here? You know what the thin places are? They call it that. If you don't believe in angels, as that one poet said, I can't remember her name. She says, if you don't believe in angels, you'll never see one. That's what we have to understand in what they were trying to bring across to us. It wasn't just one story, and that's why the other Gospels don't have it. There were many stories of that experience of Jesus and how fast it grew throughout the ages about it. That by the time Constantine was, there were more Christians than anyone. And they were, unfortunately, pushed out. Constantine took advantage of that. My spiritual director one time told me, you know, we all have spiritual guides. He says, you need to acknowledge it and to see it, that spiritual guide is with you, and you need to answer it. He asked me to name my spiritual guide. So I named him Kasapien. We all have spiritual guides that are there to be with us. Name your spiritual guide. Ask for help when it's there. Several years ago, we were on a trip over on a cruise over in the Mediterranean, and we pulled into Venice, and we went up to St. Mark's, and it was a beautiful place. And Don Stefan and John said, we're going to go back early. John was a little concerned because Ed wasn't able to go at that time. He was stayed on the ship. And as he went by, Don got too tired, and he said, I need to rest. And John says, well, I got to go back and check how Ed's doing because Ed's sick. He gets back, and actually they were directed the wrong way, and they got to the wrong ship, and they had to take a long way back. So John gets back to the boat, and Doug goes, where's Don? I don't know. Is he not back here yet? So there was real panic. And so John and I started out, and I said, let's say a prayer that we can find him. Because, you know, that's a big place. We're about 100 yards away, and we see this man sitting in a chair and this beautiful young woman standing with him. And I says, is that Don there? And I don't know. Why would Don be sitting with this young, beautiful woman?
Why not?
When we got up there, it was Don, and we thanked the person. Doug and I turned to Don, and we're just, you know, seeing how he was. We looked back, and that person was gone. Who was that? Could that have been an angel? Could that have been Jesus? Unless you have eyes, you believe in angels, you don't see it. Who knows that? Christ is with us now. Christ is there to give us the power to change this world. And how do we change it? I need to change first. I need to have a forgiving heart. I need to have a loving heart. And that person who I need to forgive and love first is me. And then I need to spread that out with others. And that was the whole message that the early Christians had. They'll know your Christians by your love. And they saw the Christ in each other. And we need to see the Christ each other in each other. All power in heaven and earth is given to me, so go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. And behold, I am with you to the end of the ages. Why are we looking up there? Christ is right here, amongst us, with us, leading us. I believe that what it's teaching us is that any perfection can only be reached by reaching out to imperfection. That's a thought by Richard Rohr. He says we can only be fully whole if when we embrace what the world treats as broken, and I include ourselves. We only experience God's exaltation when we incorporate in the world what has been taught to treat the broken as ourselves. God lifts the whole human being. He lifts me in my imperfection and my perfection. We need to lift each other up in our imperfection and our perfection. And that's what holiness is and what becomes. The importance of the ascension is not what happened. It's our experience of it. And be able to welcome that and to see that. The ascension brings together Jesus carrying the wounds of the crucifixion in his body, and he brings those to make us one in his suffering. Who did he reach out to all the time? The poor, those who are estranged, those who are out. He was saying, they're one with us. Who do we need to reach out to? I need somebody to reach out to me when I'm broken. You need somebody to reach out to you so that we know we're not alone in that. Why are you standing there looking up? We're obsessed with that question that it's so far away, and yet it's right here with us. And we need to give thanks, and we need to get praise for that. So with that, I'd like to ask you if you would share your experiences. Not what you understand, but what have your experiences been of the divine in your life?